Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
How to produce live comedy with your friend Emily. How to produce live comedy with E-M-I-L-Y Emily.
Welcome to How to Produce Live Comedy, a limited series podcast. I'm your host, Emily Winter. I'm a stand-up sketch and character comedian in Brooklyn. I've been a staff writer at TV Land and Fusion. For the last 5 years, I've produced a Time Out Critics Pick monthly variety show called Back Fat that's moving to Brooklyn's Union Hall this year. I also co-created the largest geographic comedy festival. It was called What a Joke, and it happened simultaneously in 32 cities to raise money for the ACLU. I also helped produce a Time Out Critics Pick Brooklyn weekly stand-up show called Side Ponytail. I'm doing this podcast because I thought it might be helpful to share what I've been learning about producing with the comedy community and anyone else interested in this topic.
Welcome to How to Produce Live Comedy. I'm Emily Winter, and today I am sitting down with Lucas Connolly and Jenny Wolkowiak. Lucas is a great comedian from South Florida who lives in New York. Welcome.
Hi.
And Jenny is a photographer and producer. They both produce a show together. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm good.
So today we're talking about, we'll talk about a lot of producing stuff generally, but you guys are both really good at monetizing comedy shows, which is an incredibly hard thing to do, especially in New York City, which is a place that's so saturated with comedy. And Jenny and I were riding the train the other night talking about how you guys produce a paid for show. And I just find that like absolutely fascinating and so hard to do in New York. So as somebody who produces a lot, I'm like, yeah, I can put butts in chairs. But then when you start charging, I'm like, I wouldn't know where to start. So Lucas, do you want to talk about the shows that you've run?
All right. I've started in Florida, and I started with one of the alt comedy clubs called the Funky Buddha.
Is that Fort Lauderdale?
That is in Boca Raton.
Okay.
But it's right next to the college, so it's not like, it's not elderly people, it's the college kids. So
that's good.
It's for kids. The price was for kids, the acts were for kids. It was like a different thing than you would get at the Improv or you would get at the...
Kids like young adult kids?
Like, or nine, kids like 21. Kids, like 21. Children. It was a brewery / comedy club. Okay. So it was like they wanted 21-year-old kids that didn't know what kind of beer they liked.
Got it.
Yeah, which is great because I lived briefly in South Florida. Very difficult place to do comedy.
Terrible.
So if you came up in a little enclave that was like four, really catering to kids and like you were a kid, that's really good.
It was the best.
Okay.
And so the owner of it got me involved, and I started working for him like 10 hours a week doing press release sends and every terrible boring thing that you could possibly do. Turns out I'm terrible at it because I'm dyslexic and my emails are awful.
I'm dyslexic.
Yeah. So
great. Let's How to Produce Live Mockety. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was terrible. So that was my first experience. Then I went from that show to my own show at Dada's in Delray Beach. Then I did four other shows in South Florida.
So you were like taking the skills that they taught you at the brewery or
at the Funky Buddha.
At the Funky Buddha. And okay, so it was mostly like press releases.
And then at the very end, I got a job at the Improv Comedy Club in the main office. And then I became the director of social media and promotions at that club.
So you're saying it, the look on your face is like, kill me, but...
It was.
Actually, like, you learn these skills that are now so valuable to you, and you do something in New York that most people can't do.
Right.
Lucas also has resting kill me face.
I should mention that these two are also dating. In addition to running a show together.
Yeah. No, especially when you get talking about, like, the way it is, it's just like, it's something I'm very well educated in, very well skilled in, but my brain is like, do anything you can to get out of doing this. You've been doing this for almost as long as you've been doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been producing comedy for as long as I've been doing comedy.
How many years is that?
Seven, Seven plus.
It's a long, yeah. It's a long time. Right. Yeah.
It's like, when am I just going to be able to just do comedy without having to be industry slightly? Feel like industry in a way.
I think about that too, because I've been doing it. I've been producing almost as long as I've been doing comedy too. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the day when I'm free to just be an artist. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll want, like, I'm so like anxious, and it's a good way to channel anxiety and like to feel like you're in control of something is to just like send out 1,000 press releases and make a dumb video for Instagram like, come to my show, you know. So I wonder if I'll just lose my mind if I don't have these to do.
No, I'm just gonna get bigger and bigger. That's probably what's gonna happen. I'm just gonna be running shows in different locations around the country, so, and hopefully, you know.
Well, you were able to charge in Florida, and that makes sense because there's not as many clubs and there's not as much going on. There's not as much competition. But when you moved here, were you charging right away, or like when you moved to New York?
So the first show I ran was called Cranky Pants at 1&1 with Ben Conrad, and that was a free show.
Okay.
And that's where we started. So basically I used that show in the initial grounds to find comics. And by that I meant trying to like find bigger comics to do this show. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it was a Friday night. It was hard to book, mm-hmm. but like getting people that like had Comedy Central half hours was scary for me then. 'Cause it was like, ooh, what if I book someone and they hate me?
Right.
Because it's bad.
So you're getting to learn the comedians and yeah. Yes. I did on my first podcast, we talked about night of the week, and there's no perfect night, because Friday it's like you can get people out, but all the like the headliners are usually booked. Yep. And so it's like a give and take. Okay, interesting. And I actually just sort of tangentially, somebody asked me this question on social media, and if this could be for either of you, how do you guys approach a venue when you want to start a new show?
Well, we're actually looking for a new space for our current show, and I don't know why I started answering this, because you found the space for our last show.
It's really hard, because it's this. It's not a perfect situation, or it's too expensive to rent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's a perfect, like, if, like, oh my God, it has lighting and a PA system and everything, and it's like,
yeah,
all the seats are there.
Cool
and
vibe.
Yeah. And they're like, well, it's $250 an hour, but we only run out 4 hours. And you're like, okay, well, I can't do that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you're talking about sort of like indie spaces that won't take a cut when you charge.
Right. And
you rent them out, but yeah. So like something like a Union Hall in Brooklyn, I mean, they'll take a percentage of door sales. So you would want to do something where you're in charge of.
Right.
Okay.
So we really lucked out, because we had found a venue where we were like friends with the people who run it, and they have their own events and stuff, but they're usually like smaller events and their friends come to it, and it's like more just like having an organized party. So when we were like, hey, can we do a show here? They were like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Like, we like you guys, and you know, and we're like, and we'll throw you some money. And they were like, oh, weird. Okay. Like, they're mm-hmm. just like really cool people. And after doing it for about a year, they were like, whoa, this is like not like what we do. This is like a real thing. And you guys like actually get like pack out our space. This isn't really our style. So that's kind of like why we're.
Yeah, because it wasn't just friends and friends of friends, because what you were doing was working.
Right.
Right.
You were too good at your job. Get out of here.
Right. Well, and that's just not what they're because they're more of like an art space gallery kind of thing, you know, and they were kind of like, yeah, this isn't really our vibe. So, and you know, they're really cool and they're still our friends and everything. But yeah, so that's partly why they're kicking us out. We just got really lucky with this space.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. I think a lot of people, when they ask the question, like, how do you approach a venue? I mean, finding a venue is so hard, but like, I think some comics, I think the way that I read that question was, somebody was like, I don't even know how to email, what to say when I email a bar, right. You know, what would you guys...
You want me just to read the email I've been sending?
That would be great.
All right.
We is write this, all these together. He writes something and sends it to me, and then I proofread
and
it.
Then and switch
send
all
it back.
The letters.
Yes. Because I am so dyslexic.
Yeah, we're a dream team.
I have it really bad with numbers, and I was a journalism major, and I would always, for my student newspaper, always call the wrong people for my stories. Oh, and that's how I discovered that I was dyslexic. I had always been bad at math, and I was like, I'm a straight A student, but I always get. Except for math, it was like, no, you're just switching the numbers around. Nobody caught it.
Oh, my anyway. God.
My one is I'll just skip words. So I'll just forget to put a the. Because I'll just read it in there, right? Because my brain is just like going so fast and it's not looking.
I've gotten pretty good at deciphering Lucas speak. But sometimes even I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying.
All right. So here it is. Hi, my name is Lucas Colley. I'm a comedian and producer of Camouflage, a comedy show. I go, what makes Camo so special is that we bring national headliners. I go, Chris Redd from SNL, Ray Wood Jr. for The Daily Show, Aparna from HBO's Crashing, just to name a few, to perform in non-traditional venues like art galleries, friends' living rooms, and backyards. You have a really lovely space. I was wondering if you would be interested in letting us bring Camo to your room for 2 or 3 hours on a Friday or Saturday.
Great, great. And then you're just like, thanks, bye.
And then I go, yeah, Lucas. And then I give him my thing. I go, our next show is this. Come check it out. We'll comp you tickets if you want to come
nice.
See it.
Smart, yeah. smart. Okay, cool. So if you don't have the connections to the comedians or you don't have a history, I think you maybe start small. Maybe start at a bar like, hey, we want to, like, our, you know, we just want a show that's 90 minutes or under, and we plan to make sure that, you know, we're going to tap the city's best comics and, you know, make sure that we have one or two people with, you know, TV credits on every show. I think, like, stuff like that is important to say. And
that's true. Yeah, we have the luxury of being able to name drop a little bit because of, you know, Lucas has been at this for a long time, and he's made friends. You know, he's a charismatic, fun guy. I just take pictures of people and they don't remember me.
They're fantastic photos, and I think it's so important also for show promotion to have really good photos.
That's right. I actually don't shoot our show because I'm producing it, but we make sure to hire good photographers and pay good photographers so that and that's hard, you know, turning over something that, like, I wish I could shoot it, but there's no way. I can't do everything, you know. And there's a lot of good photographers in this city, so it's not that big a deal.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's also like you get in, you know, you can get in like time out and stuff with good photos and anyway, back to your one in one show.
Yes, sorry.
So how you started. Oh, I took us off on a tangent from a social media question. Anyway.
We went from that show. I then got a weekly show in Bushwick where I used to bark the whole show. And that one was really cool because I didn't have to book anyone big. I could just talk to people on the street.
What was your venue?
It was Tandem at the time, which is now gone.
Okay.
But I used to bark the entire show.
Are you good at barking? I'm terrible at it. I can't do it.
I'm really good at barking in Williamsburg and Bushwick, but I'm very bad at barking other places.
Oh, you know, I did your pizza show once, and you were out there working it like I've never seen. It was amazing. I forgot about that. You were so good.
Yeah, him and David and Jake all bark. They like pick different corners. Yeah. I watched it once. It's like sports, you know. What's they're like, you take this corner, you take this corner, and then they all bark, and like it's like a game, like who can get the most people in. It's really fascinating.
It is fun, and we all have a completely different technique.
What's your technique?
My technique is I go, hey, the show's in the back. And they go, what? And I go, oh, never mind.
Oh, right.
Like a shady drug deal? What is that?
Exactly. It's exactly the shady drug deal. It's the, oh, it's in there. And they go, what? And I go, never mind. And the moment then they start inquiring, now you can pitch. But the moment you pitch and they don't want it, you're just catcalling.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, I'm selling drugs versus trying to pick on chicks.
That's really cool.
Oh my god.
And so it worked so well at Tandem because it was just a packed bar. It was like the local hang. So I would just sit outside right near the door and I go, show's in the back. And they go, show's in the back. Show's in the back. And they go, huh? And I go,
oh, never mind.
Wave them off. I'd do a wave.
Oh my god, the balls on you. I mean, if I tried to bark, I would just be like, I am so sorry, but my friends are gonna be really mad at me. You know what? Just never mind.
Honest, I like that approach.
But that actually works. Like that one works too. I've done that.
oh, where you're like, my, you're like, I'm gonna get in really big trouble if I don't fill up this room.
No, I legit go, I go, we have really too, we have too big of comics to be here tonight, and I'm freaking out, and we don't have enough people in the seats. I'll buy you a drink. I'll do whatever it is. Can you please come into the back of my room? I will do it like this, and I'll have my voice, and they'll start cracking a little bit, and then they'll be all like, okay, and I go, cool, and then I never buy them a drink.
You're terrified.
Oh, my God. I'm having an anxiety attack.
Yeah. Yeah, like that was stressful for me.
And I learned this at the improv. When I was, okay. I worked because I would do social media stuff, but then I was also on the phone getting phone calls from people trying to sell them tickets. And I would just be like, hey. And they'd be like, hey. I'm like, is this blah, blah, blah? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, this is crazy. But like, we did a raffle. This, like, we did a raffle here and we just pulled your name out. Like, you know, that card you signed up, and you actually won tickets. And they'd be like, what? And I go, seriously, you won tickets. Congratulations.
So then did you give him a ticket?
And then I'd give him free tickets because I was going to give him free tickets anyways.
Oh, shit.
But I would, so then I would make up a whole story about how I was raffling, pulled my hand out, talk about the scripting their hand. I was like, it's hard to read your name, but at least your phone number was in there. I would do this. I would. I wasn't even being able to read their card. I didn't even have their card.
Oh, my God.
It was in a system. But you would just go and you'd sell it, and they'd be like, I won?
Wow.
And they would freak out on the other side, and then you got people in free tickets every time. And I was the top seller there.
Holy shit.
Wait, did I miss something? Why did you lie about raffling if you were going to give them free tickets anyway?
Because otherwise you're like begging them, like, please come to my free show. Would you like to come to a free show? And they're like, no. But if you're like, you won free tickets.
Okay, no, you're right. Okay, no, it, sorry, I'm on board now.
It legit is, they're getting like, the free tickets.
Why are you lying to people?
It's not a lie. It's a pitch. And to be honest, at the end of the day, they're still getting the exact same product I was offering them. I just made them a little bit of a backstory.
Right. This is wild. Okay.
The same with the, I'm so sorry, there's not enough people here, and I really need people to be back there. Can I buy you a couple drinks so you can, like, that kind of thing works because it's emotional. You attach an emotion to this thing. I really hope my show is packed this week.
I'm just going to post videos of me sobbing a week before a show. But
like, to be honest, it probably would be one of the more
effective
techniques.
Yeah.
If you could legit. Because
you're like real cute. You know?
Thank you. You should see my cry face.
No, I bet. Oh, God. I bet that's why it's so good.
That's why it's money. You got to figure out where your money is and how you promote the best. And
just
if it's
being
you just sobbing.
Precious.
The mascara running down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be in Albany tonight and then Buffalo on Saturday.
I don't know what I'm going to do. And if no one even shows up, like, what?
I can't believe this is my life. I'm working. Like, that is something. People would love the crying. I can't believe of the opportunities I'm getting. Person.
So this when podcast, did you... We're just going to cry for the
minutes. Yeah, we're renaming this episode. We all cry.
When did you start monetizing your shows in New York City, and how did you make that switch? And then where does Jenny come in? And yeah.
All right. So let's say four years later, after doing free shows after free show after free show, I started this. And the first thing I started was... $5 if you don't show up on time.
Okay.
If you don't show up at 9, the show is at 9. If it's past, if there's a person on mic talking, it's $5 now.
Okay.
Get there on time. It made it an incentive for them to get there on time.
That's a big problem. Yeah.
Right? It's always a hard time is getting people to come in. Also, people would come and they'd be like, oh, I don't have any money. And they go, because I thought I was going to get here, but the trains go. And then you can just go, it's cool. I mean, come on, just come in. And now they're your friend.
And now they owe you something.
And now they're your buddy. And now they're coming in. And so you
And
just,
they're grateful.
And they're grateful. And they know that they should have spent $10, but now they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a lot of that stuff, you know. Obviously, you make sure that you have your email list. You see how quick, the moment you get an email blast out, what happens.
How quick people start buying tickets?
Yeah, how many free tickets go? Like if you go boom, here's 100 tickets, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, that took 5 hours.
Okay.
And there's all the frees. Or 30 minutes or 15 minutes.
So,
you know.
Yeah, I'm going to pause you. I'm going to pretend like the person listening to this podcast has never run a show before. So
yeah, I think that's best. Yeah. Yeah.
So when Lucas says, make sure you have your email list, what that means is start and keep an email list.
Right.
So like any show you go to, you know, have a notebook and ask people to sign it when you're done. And if you do go to, if you go to somebody else's show, like just start collecting emails, and then you can use your email list once, twice a month to invite people to come to your show.
I used to stand out of comedy clubs that didn't pay me,
mm-hmm.
and take their emails.
Smart.
Because it's like, if you're not going to give me money, at least you are getting me in front of a large group of people,
right?
Here. So like, I'll be like, well, that show I got nothing, but I got 15 new people who might come to my shows.
So unrelated to the grand thing, but just on the email topic, I also keep an email list. My mm-hmm. email list is not gigantic. I wish it was bigger. My email list has about 450 people on it.
That's great.
Which is good, but it's not, they don't always show up for every show. I have trouble here, like behind me, taped to my computer is an email list that I've been keeping, but that's like three shows worth of emails when it's sitting on a table in the back. Do you guys pass around a clipboard? Because I always feel very awkward being like, and we're passing it through the crowd now, you know?
I go, hey, basically you just can't rush from the show afterwards. You have to hang. And what I always say is, I'll be outside if you guys want to sign up. Yeah. And that way you're not doing this weird basically what you're doing, if you do pass a clipboard around, you're doing you're giving a weird alt room check spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where okay. people are not going to be paying attention. Check spot's a bad, right. the worst spot on a club
the
spot.
The worst spot.
It's also another easy way that we collect emails too is we use Eventbrite.
I do that too. It's like a dirty little secret. Yeah. You steal those emails, it's fucking great.
And it's not even stealing, you know, like it's just, so like, especially if your show is free, set it to free with unlimited tickets and let, because you know that people who sign up for free shit don't show up all the time.
They don't.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then you have their email and maybe, you know, and then when you start charging, you know, you can, I don't know. It's a fast way to build your email list and make it feel better. Cause you're right. Like 400 people, not all of them are going to show up all the time. But when you have 1,000 emails, 2,000 emails, like your chances go up. Like it's just how that works.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So wait, where were we?
Charge at the door.
$5 if they're late.
Right. So you did charge if they're late. And then you said, so for shows now, you do a certain amount of free tickets. And then after those sell out, then you go, what, to $5? And then you go to $10?
Yep.
This is such an interesting strategy.
It came from me and an older producer arguing.
Okay.
She really thought that we should be charging this amount. I didn't want to lose people that I thought we might lose because of a price difference.
Yes.
Like, I was like, I don't want to just have bridge and tunnel tie people who are coming from work because they found the good deal.
Right.
Right. I want artists and weirdos and people that, like, in my mind are actually going to be fans for a long time, which are the $5 punk rock free people.
Yeah.
Like, those are my fans, not Thai people.
Right, right, right.
And
that makes sense.
And so I was like, we need to keep this price down. And they're like, how about this? And then we negotiated. And I feel like we accidentally just walked onto a thing that creates this urgency, kind of like where people are like, brilliant. I need to buy fives before I buy tens. And if you notice, the people who buy fives don't come as much. A lot of times they just buy fives because it doesn't really matter. It's a cup of coffee. So if they don't come, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, the same thing with our free thing. So like, we have only 15% of our tickets are free. And then after that, they're all paid. But we, you know, we say on the Eventbrite, like, if you want, and those tickets are all hidden, you mm-hmm. have to have an access code. The access code is sent in the email.
Fuck.
So we get people to sign up for
Jesus.
And everything's linked through MailChimp. So the form to sign up for the email list is on Lucas's website,
mm-hmm.
and there's a MailChimp plugin for Squarespace. So they go there, and then their emails go directly into the list on our MailChimp.
Nice.
So
did not know there's a MailChimp plugin for Squarespace, because I also have a form, but it goes to my Gmail and then I put it in my MailChimp.
Which is fine.
It's fine. It's an extra step.
But it saves you a step.
Yeah.
And that's for someone like me and you, who maybe our organization skills is the thing that is the most daunting.
It's true. The answer to where does Jenny come in? It's this.
I'm a hyper organized. I don't know if you guys like that, like, I have keep a chart of everything I do.
I saw that one. And I was like, that's what we need.
I'm messy, but I'm organized, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this is when you start monetizing your shows. You're charging for late, and then after that you start charging a bunch of threes and then fives and then tens.
And then we started with fives. Then we just started with fives.
Okay.
And then we were like, she kept on being like, come on. We're packed. We're too packed. We need a look. We have the room was too packed.
Are you passing around tip buckets at the end or no?
We were.
Okay.
And we still are. And like,
I was wondering about that.
There's a moment when you have to realize when there's a price range, and I think it's over 15 or 20 bucks where it starts getting a little, people start rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
What? I just spent, not that I've ever had a show that was 15 bucks or 20 bucks, yeah. But like,
you want more off me now? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. What is this money going to? Like, if it was like for a charity, maybe it would be cool, but like, absolutely. If it's not, they don't understand.
Yeah.
So you just have to like, figure that it out. It helps to. And something that Lucas has forgotten to mention, I think, is that part of the reason why he was able to start charging money was because the caliber of the acts that he was booking on these shows, like it wasn't, you know, a lot of his friends are very, very talented, but nobody knows who they are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when he gets somebody who writes for a TV show or somebody who's kind of going through a little fame spurt, like they were just on Conan or something, you know, and he gets a name like that, people are like, oh shit, that's a good show, and it's only $5, you know.
Like, right. I look at lineups all the time, this is the problem. It's like knowing how I produce shows now and knowing how I do it. I look up a lineup and go, draw, hilarious, friend.
Yeah.
And I'm able to do it. I'm able to go click, 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 click. I can almost do it for any show I look at. I can tell you what it is.
Tell you why each person was booked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And what I learned right away, and I talked about this a little bit before, but when I started sending press out 5 years ago, the dude from The Skint was like, it's got to be, you got to have two major credits. Otherwise, I'm probably not paying attention. And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me. Now I know forever, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's hard because that guy gets so many submissions all the time, you know, too. So, like, he has to have rules like that or else he would just be like, I'm up to my fucking ass.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair on his part. Shows, and he wants to promote things that are good. Yeah.
Right.
And it's true. There's so many funny people. And it's, like, it's hard because you're like, oh, God, I want to put you on a show. But I got to make sure that there's already two TV credits on because you might be hilarious, but you don't have the fame and whatever. Anyway,
which sucks, but that's just like unfortunately how it is if you want people to give you money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Or even if you just want to, for totally no money, fill up a room. Yeah. It's just like that's how, you know.
Right. And it makes you, and that's where like you're talking about like that evil face where I'm like, I feel evil. Like I look at people.
Well, because you're also a comic, and right. I'm also a comic, and you're right. Like, okay, yeah.
Where, and then you go, oh, but Lucas is able to make money now from doing comedy and producing. Isn't that nice? And you go, yeah, but basically what he has to do is tell his friends that he
to
can't
fuck off.
Yeah, that they need to get famouser.
Yeah, no, it makes, I mean, it's fine. And I think it really hurts. It hurts, but also like you guys are doing a lot of work for the money that you make. And I'm sure that you pay your comics, right? Which is another thing we should probably touch on.
Of course.
How do you decide how much to pay your comics versus how much you keep? There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Like, I don't know. I have a variety show that I run monthly, and we just moved to Union Hall, which is very scary for me because they charge tickets, but we were doing it for free, and it's like themed shows. It's not like a regular showcase, but like at the end of the night, we pass around a bucket, and I'm like, okay, I want to pay everyone, but also like they just came here and did 10 minutes. I spent 40 hours on this show, right. You know?
And that's where you just got to start realizing, look at what the industry is paying. And then go, this is an indie show.
Yeah.
That place is selling two drinks and their tickets are $28.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing, and that's how much you're paying. If my tickets are half of that and my drinks are a third or a fourth of that. If you're selling a show like ours that has PBR for a buck, that's not a two drink minimum whiskey drink where they each. So when I worked at the Improv, I found out every person that goes into that club averages $30
in addition to
their ticket.
So let's say if it's like a $20 ticket, and then you're spending like $50 per head.
So that's why the free tickets are given out so much, because every person who comes in, they average to being $30, because someone will go in there and buy two daiquiris that are each $11 and some wings, and now they're paying for that person by themselves is paying $40.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very, the drinks are very expensive.
They're very expensive at these clubs. So when I start thinking about that and then thinking about how much they're paying their acts, then you can start going, okay, well, if my drinks are this, this is how much, this is what, this is where the link lies. So what I try to do in general is pay weekday rate.
Okay.
For comics.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
Whatever the weekday rate is, I know it's a weekend, but I'm going to pay you weekday rate. Normally, you'd be doing free bar shows or you do one spot at the Cellar or one spot at somewhere else where they're going to make more money. They don't need, no one needs, usually, at least for my show, the comics that I book don't need the money.
Yeah, that's the thing with the big comics. It's like you want to pay them and they should be paid, but you're also like, you write for a TV show and you know.
Yeah, like you get a paycheck
you're
already.
You're fine.
Right. You're a millionaire. Like there's people, I'm like, I've handed $20 to millionaires.
But still, that's, you know, yeah. It's you gotta
the cool
do
ones
it.
Give it back.
One cool one. One cool one's giving me it back. That's basically
it.
Oh,
God, I really want to know who it is. What a hero.
wait till the mics are off. We use a similar logic for, like, how we pay the photographer, too. And only because I'm a photographer, I feel like it's important to note, to say, too, that while the comics are the talent and they're the reason that the people are in the seats, mm-hmm. they are showing up and doing 10 minutes and sometimes leaving. The photographer's there for the entire show and then they spend hours editing the next day. So I've been, as a photographer, I've been offered $20 or just drinks to shoot a show and I've been like, no.
Good.
Like,
good.
You have to. So, like, and that's something, too, is when I agreed to help Lucas with this show, I said, no matter what, we have to pay the comics, and if we want a photographer, we have to pay them. And, you know, and I've offered many times to be like, I'm fine if I don't make any money, as long as we're able to pay the comics and pay the photographer. And we make sure that Lucas makes money, because he works very, very hard. I mean, I do, too, but it's his
thing. So you do make money. You're saying, like, even after you pay, you still come out okay. Okay, good. Yeah, that's very, it's just very important. Good. It's nice to know that for a show that charges, like, has some free tickets, has some $5 tickets, has some $10 tickets, you can pay the comics decently, you can pay the photographer, and you still make money.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, yeah.
And it, to be honest, when you go, wow, this isn't this great, but then you start cutting out everything, and then you realize you're like, oh, it's a decent amount, but it's not, it comes out to being almost $10. Like, when you start, like, looking at how much time you put into it, you're like, oh, I just paid myself $10 an hour.
Oh, that's great. I usually pay myself like 30 cents an hour. Yeah. Like, that's how I come out. And I'm like, I'm like getting to a point now where, like, I just was starting my show for stage time. And now I'm like, okay, like, I'm good. My show's good. I want money for all this work, you know?
Because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and I usually handle the money, like the cash and the money from Eventbrite goes through my, and I divvy it up and do all that, whatever. And it's always funny on show night because I'm like, oh my God, it's so much money. Yeah. I'm like, I have so much money. And then Lucas is like, okay, but, you know, this much for ads, this much for comics, this much for the space, this much for this. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. And I, you know, like, hand him all the money.
it's just the law. It's that's the thing, is that.
How much do you guys spend on Facebook ads a month?
Depends.
Or show, I guess. Because we usually throw in like $20, but I don't know if that's, you know, I just am like interested to pick other people's brains because I don't know the efficacy of it.
We have different opinions on that. Like, I personally don't think you should spend more than $100 a month, but I think Lucas would spend way more than that if I let him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is how I feel. I feel like it really depends on the act. If you can get someone that's a real draw, mm-hmm. like sells out arenas, sells out big comedy clubs in the city, and mm-hmm. they can do that with their draw, you can throw a lot of money at that ad. If you can research their name as an interest,
mm-hmm.
like, and direct it only at people that are fans of them.
You're talking specifically about Facebook, right?
I'm talking about Facebook, and you can do it for a lot of different platforms.
Do you advertise on other platforms?
We tried advertising on Eventbrite once, and that didn't do anything. And I've done Instagram ads for my other Instagram accounts, like for my photography one and whatever, and while it has generated more engagement on the post, it has not become more website clicks and hasn't generated more actual like leads.
Okay.
So I don't do Instagram ads anymore, but we still do Facebook ads because we found that they do something.
Yeah, okay.
And this is the thing, if you consider it as emails, mm-hmm. new emails that are going to be maybe potential new customers. It's right. what you go, well, did you, how many people came from that $100 Facebook ad? You go, well, right. maybe $50 or $40 right. of ticket sales.
Right.
Or something like that. You go, yeah, but those people might come back every time now from now on. And absolutely. Now they're.
So think long term. Right, yeah. right, right. That's really helpful.
That's, and it's scary because you're just like.
It's scary throwing $100 at anything, especially like you guys. Yeah. I don't have a day job now. And so it's like everything's a risk. Like I just spent all this money on t-shirts that no one's buying. So I'm like, oh, whoops. You know?
Something that's right. cool about Facebook ads is you set a budget and then they run the ad for the duration of the time that you set it for mm-hmm. and before they charge you. So if you have a show that you think is going to make some money, you can set it for, you know, $50 or whatever and have the ad end the day that your show is. So then you get charged, but then hopefully that day you make $50. Right. And so it's like it breaks even.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt so much yeah. when you think about it like that. Okay, let me see. I have a couple of notes I want to get through just to make sure that we cover everything.
Yes, of course.
No, I think this is pretty... I mean, I just like to ask people about their pet peeves as producers as far as like comics go or other producers or... Yeah, just because I'm interested in... what other producers like find very irritating. Maybe as comedians we can all not do that anymore.
Well, I'm super fortunate because I don't book our show. So the best part about my job is that when people send me their tapes, I go, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to do with that. And I get to brush it off. I already said it, as a photographer, though, if you want a photographer to come to your show, you need to have a budget for a photographer. You need to expect to pay them because any photographer doing it for less than $200 is giving you a very good deal. Mm-hmm. And most of them are. But I will let Lucas give his pet peeves because that's pretty much all.
First thing is that people don't hire Jenny enough.
I just did.
So www.iamjwphotography.com. That's my plug.
Yeah. I've been getting blessed by now upping my caliber of my show. So little by little, I don't get asked as much anymore. And I know, and sometimes maybe also my reputation has went around enough that people know not to message me because I'm going to give them a hard no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You give people hard no's?
I go, hey, I don't know if you looked at the lineup, but I basically booked this. And yeah. I know you're really funny and I would love to have you. But until we are at a point where I sell out the room,
with no problem.
With no people of yeah. no like it's like sorry.
Yeah.
And and people are like, whoa. Yeah. Usually I get a lot of woes. I didn't expect you to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And maybe it went around, you know what I mean? But like,
what about like people asking you for spots at like 2 o'clock in the morning? Don't you hate that?
I'm getting really
That's
annoyed
so
at
weird.
It.
That never happens to me. I get asked for like 20 spots a week and they're all online.
No. Mine are online too.
Oh, but like in the middle of the night?
Yeah. They'll do it at like 12 o'clock at night and they'll
or
be
later.
Later and they'll be like, hey man, blah, 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 blah. And it's always someone that's like, I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. It's always somebody that, but it's always like someone who's like doing it usually the right way. They're like, my friend told me.
Yeah.
Here's my, like they're doing it in the right way.
But you're annoyed by the time.
Like I'm walking off stage. I'm going back. Yeah. I'm trying to think over my sets. I'm trying to do all.
Or he like just got home and got into bed and then he looks at his phone. He's like, really?
Like I'm like, there's something weird about, and I got into a huge argument with somebody the other day about it. They're like, what? Who cares? Just to. Talk to him the next.
Yeah.
Talk to him the next day.
That's sort of my thought. Yeah.
And but my thing is, I go, it's a job.
Yeah. When you work during business hours, yes. When you have 100 things on your plate, I do like to take care of things immediately as they come in.
That's exact. Me too.
Yeah. So otherwise I'll forget.
Well, especially because we work for ourselves, so like I answer emails as soon as I get them, mm-hmm. and people get surprised by that. Especially, you know, they're like, "Oh, I didn't expect you to respond right away," and I'm like, "Why wouldn't I? Like, I need your money."
Yeah.
Right, and that's how I'm like, I am very good about responding to your messages, so I will get back to you immediately. But then it's like I don't want to give you anything, especially right. if you're just asking for something from like normally when I get a buzz, I go. Excitement. It's something for me. And then I go, oh no, it's nothing like that. So I think that's the thing. It's just like cool it. Really investigate the shows you're trying to, that you are trying to get on.
It's so hard as a comic. I totally get it because, like, you, it's just, but it is weird, like, especially if it's a show like your show where it's like, okay, these people, every single person on this lineup has been on television before. So, like, if you haven't done a late night spot, you might not really have a place asking for a spot. But then on the other hand, it's like, you get so excited when you make these leaps in your talent and you're like, I'm good enough to do something better, so give me everything. You know,
right.
And you don't, like, know. And I mean, like, just I feel like there was, like, a point for me and, like, 2 years in where I was like, shit, I just got into some festivals. Fucking, I'm great. I could do everything now, right? And then I was like, they were like, no. People were like, no. And I was like, but. And, you know, I was like, I think some people just don't know where they stand. They just know that they got a lot better than they used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is, like, thing. Get friends. Ask them hard questions. See what they...
Yeah.
Hey, what should I be doing now?
Yeah.
And whatever they say, do it.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, obviously they need to be close enough that you trust them. But, like, I always say that. I'm like, some people just don't have enough people in their lives to tell them
the truth.
That they're not...
Or they're good, but they're not at this level where... Because they don't have all the successes yet, which is fine. So, and, you know, the whole thing of it is, like... It's just shocking to me how slow moving everything is, you know?
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, okay, like, I'm 2 years in, I feel ready. And then, no, now I'm 6 years in and I'm like, I totally get it. Everything will happen. It's just going to happen a lot slower than you ever thought, you know? It's wild. Yeah.
I remember one time, one of my closest friends, Peggy, I was super upset about not getting into a festival and I was distraught. And then she was like, what do you want? And I was like, well, I'd love to get on late night. And she goes, yeah, but you don't have one clean joke. You couldn't get on late night even if you wanted to.
Even if they loved you, they couldn't put you
right
on. Yeah.
If you got into that festival because it'd be because you're funny, but if the real goal is that you wanted to get on late night, you can't do it. So
that's wonderful. Yeah.
But like that, I remember this moment because I was furious. And but then in retrospect,
like, she's right.
Right. I couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Let's say I got into that thing, I couldn't have got the things I needed from it.
Right.
The moral of the story is that everyone needs to be friends with Peggy.
Tells it like it is. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else you want to add about monetizing shows before we wrap it up?
Get to a point where it's too full, then think about money.
What's your ideal venue size?
100 people.
That's at the moment, but I would love to start learning how to do bigger than that.
I mean,
that.
Of course. But I think that, like, I think 100 is, again, we have difference of opinions about this. Mm-hmm. My producing background is from doing punk rock shows, like, with bands in high school. That was what I did. I would book shows for charity. And I used MySpace to find bands. I was a very cool 16-year-old.
Oh, wow. So intrepid.
I know. but... That size venue was, like, perfect because we were able to fill it, you know?
You can fill it. You can also make it look kind of full if it's not.
Exactly.
Which is, yeah.
Right.
Or, like, the Bell House, which is, like, one of the bigger venues in Brooklyn. You can't. Like,
no.
If you have
30 people there, it looks dead.
It looks like the saddest thing to ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, our space, like, if you manage to wedge 90 people where we are, it looks like the most lit party in Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah.
If you manage to squeeze 70 people in that space, even 50 people, you know, which is like light for us, like it still looks poppin'. Yeah. Who says that? Not me. You can't take me anywhere.
Brought to you by 2002.
But yeah, the only reason why I would want to go bigger is because I don't know how to do bigger.
And you want the challenge.
I want to get better at doing larger rooms, not producing.
Do you host?
I host always.
Okay.
In general.
Do you have a feeling on that? Like, I want to be in control, or why do you always host?
Fine. It's money.
Yeah, we factor in host pay
as
for what he makes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Right, so we made I'm so sorry.
Yeah, please, no.
Well, I made this great spreadsheet using Google Sheets. And it has, like, the first page is who, you know, our bookings page or whatever. Like, just, like, who we asked and who we're getting or whatever. And then the next page is, like how much we're paying each comic and mm-hmm. how much we pay the host and how much we pay the photographer and how much we do this, that, and the other. And then we factor all of that into what each of us makes. And like if I run the bar that night, then I get, you know, a cut of the bar or whatever.
Great.
And if he hosts, which he always does, but there might be a time when he's on the road and he doesn't do it, you know, but then that way I know how much to pay
the host. Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so he hosts every time because we don't want to pay a host. We want him to do it so absolutely. He can make the money.
Absolutely.
And he's great at it.
And what a great skill to, right. yeah, yeah.
And it's also, it's, if I did that, that would mess up. Like, if this pays, like, comedy pays my rent, so I need to.
To host.
To host because that's the most money on the spot on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else monetizing-wise that you guys feel like, you're like, oh, I want to.
Oh, we do our own bar.
That's interesting. So we in like a DIY venue, you buy all the PBRs and you yes. charge a buck and yeah. you run the bar.
Though there's like legal stuff to that. Like we can't legally sell beer without a license. So we yeah. take donations.
I don't know if they're in here. I have a stack of drink tickets. There's about 50 of them. They're from college. I still have them and they're from running a bar illegally.
Right. Yeah,
that was $30,000 of fines.
Right. Exactly. Like we don't. And that was the other rule too. When I told him that I was going to help him with this was that we needed to do everything within the law. And I was like, I don't want to be involved in some weird, twisted.
So how do you do it?
It's a donation. So like you can have beer at private events. You can have wine at private events. There's a lot of theaters in town that do it by donation too.
So you have a donation bucket and you're like, donation $1. You can donate in that bucket.
Right. We, we don't even give, especially with the cheap beer that we get, it's... By the case, each beer really costs like 30 cents a can or whatever. Mm-hmm. So no matter what people donate, we make money. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, there's no suggested donation. Okay. I just say it's donation. And the people say, well, what's the suggested? And I said, just whatever you feel like donating.
That's really smart because if you're thinking a dollar, I would probably think, okay, I'm going to give them two. You know?
And some exactly. people,
I still feel like I'm getting a good deal because it would be four at a bar.
Right. Or there's and some at a comedy club, it would be 10.
Some people who throw, like, I've had people throw a 20 in and say, instead of change, I'll just come back and get more beer later. And then they never come back because it's packed and they can't get back there. I mean,
oh my God.
So it's. You know, it's just, it's really great. And that's one of the best, that's, you know, we make a lot of money doing that, but it's also not, it's hard to find a venue that'll let you do the bar and get the tickets, you know, so it's, but it's a good way. And if you can figure out a way to run your own bar, like you should do it.
It'll change your bottom line. And that money isn't comic money. That's your money. That's like when you start debating in your mind, I think that's important.
You made this bar.
Made the bar. That's your side business. That's a side business. It's just like if you were walking dogs.
Selling like, merch
yeah,
it's, at the show.
Right, exactly. You're not giving a percentage of the club or the other comics your shirt money.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That is brilliant. You guys have a lot of answers. And I really, you're like inspiring me, but I know how hard it is to go find some like DIY basement to do something in New York.
We should just make one.
Oh God!
What about that Chinese farm place across the street? That looks like a good venue.
It smells horrible. There's a place where they kill chickens right by my apartment, and it is disgusting. And every time we walk our dog by it, she wants to roll all over the ground on it. And like,
it looked like they were having they were barbecuing when we walked by
down on Columbia, or no? Is it someplace else?
It's like right there. There was like a Chinese family on a cement block, and they were barbecuing something.
That I don't know about.
It looked like a stage. I'm just saying. I'm thinking we have some weird.
It's weird over here. There you might be able to find. I'm just saying. Like, there's like
we can do some weird secret Red Hook outdoor show.
Yeah,
in the summer. Like, I like it. Let's do it.
Disgusting metal barn around the corner too, and I'm like so interested, but I like am not gonna do anything about it. No, I'll show you guys if you want to.
No, you should. We should throw a show in that disgusting metal barn.
Okay, are we good on stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like we. Okay, oh yeah, cool. Let me know. Let everyone know, Jenny. Let everyone know where to find you on social and all of your stuff, and then Lucas, please do the same.
Yep. Instagram, I am at IamJW Photography. Facebook is facebook.com. IamJW Photography. My website is IamJWPhotography.com. At Twitter, I'm W Jenny, but like W spelled out DoubleYou Jenny with an I. And our comedy show is facebook.com/camo haha. Oh, and our Instagram is Camouflage Comedy. That was a lot.
That was so much.
Great. Follow me everywhere.
Yeah, I'm at lovablelucas.com. That's go on to my website. That's the best way of finding all the other social medias.
So yours is just Lovable Lucas, right? Everywhere. Yes. Yeah,
it is Lovable Lucas everywhere.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. And
come to one of our shows.
Yeah, good luck finding a new venue. And I'm Emily Winter, emilywintercomedy.com, at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to How to Produce Live Comedy. I hope you found this helpful. I am going to go show them the metal barn with broken glass all over it around the corner now. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to How to Produce Live Comedy. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes. And you can donate to me and my producer on Venmo at Emily-Winter. To find me online, visit my website, emilywintercomedy.com, or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Emily McWinter. It's Emily MC Winter. You can find photos from shows I produce on our network website, brainmachinenetwork.com. Thanks so much.